Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and I am about to talk baseball. I know it's football season. I know the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. They're going to win, and it's Derek and Lamar and Lamar and Derek, Josh and Lamar and Pat Mahomes and all that, but we still have a baseball team around here, and for most of the 2 decades that Luke and I have been doing this together, and the 4 decades that I've been doing this, or three and a half at least on radio, them and all out of January is where I got to take a time out in the middle of Buffalo week or Pittsburgh week or Kansas City playoff weeks to be discussing baseball activity. But such is the life for the baseball team that has made the playoffs 2 years in a row and hasn't urinated a drop, as we would say. Much like Lamar's ring finger is nude, and this time of the year we measure these things. The Orioles trying to put together some semblance of pitching in the aftermath of the loss of Corbin Burns. Luke Jones takes a quick little timeout here to come in and say, bought some relief pitching. Mr. Rubenstein's spending money on things that at least for this week, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, even though I don't have a press credential and you do. And that'll never not get brought up, especially now that Angelos is dead. They're trying harder. A couple of weeks ago, it's nothing's changed, nothing's changed. I don't know. They're spending some money now. You're going to stand up and make the case for another 30-something pitcher that if we're going to spend money on pitchers whose arms haven't fallen off and you're not going to spend $210 million or $250 million or whatever, that if you're going to do this piece by piece and say, well, we're going to invest $80 million a year in pitching. We're just going to do it year by year with guys who we checked out their arms, make sure it's good. We're going to not sign guys to 3-year deals. That went on last week too, which was brought up Xavier Hernandez on my timeline. So, Luke, how are you? I know it's a football week. I am, and I speak for all real Baltimore sports fans because I found you, hired you, kept you around, and eternally grateful that you're here. But there's so very few people that can definitely move from Orioles to Ravens the way you and I can and the way we do and we're apt to do in the middle of, yeah, it's Buffalo week, and there's you can click here or click there and listen to all of our football stuff. But what the Orioles are doing is really important, and I want to take a little time out and say we still cover the Orioles here, KD Griggs. By the way, thanks for the LinkedIn, Don Kovac. Welcome to Baltimore. I wish you well. It says Baltimore, and I'm wearing orange on it. We want the Orioles to do well. Are they doing well, Luke? I'm going to throw it to you. I mean, where are you in their pitching here?
It's such an odd off season, and look, it's easy to pile on, and I'm not going to sit here and say that they've had a great off season by any stretch of the imagination. I think relative to expectations after being swept consecutive years in the postseason and what's happened with Corbin Burns walking out the door, presumably Anthony Santander walking out the door, it's underwhelming. I think even the fairest way to paint this offseason, it's been underwhelming. It hasn't been splashy. It hasn't been exciting. To go back to the conversation and the point that you've made a lot in terms of recruiting and continuing to grow your fan base and grow your brand and all of that. But I've also made the point, and I'd throw their latest acquisition, which is Andrew Kittredge on a 1-year agreement for $10 million. I look at each of the moves that they've made in isolation, and I can't sit here and say that I've hated what they've done. It's just the collective nature of it. When you look at the entire body of work, they've certainly raised the floor. They've improved the depth of the back end of their rotation, but is there enough upside? In the case of Andrew Kittredge, I think this is a good move for the bullpen. I think it's clearly an upgrade over, someone like Jacob Webb, for example, who ended up playing a pretty important part in their bullpen last year and did a nice job, but had some elbow issues and midway through the season, and it was certainly a question whether he was going to do that again. So, you look at Kittredge, you look at the moves they've obviously made with Charlie Morton, and bringing in a 35-year-old Japanese pitcher in Sagano, and Tyler O'Neill, Gary Sanchez. And again, you can explain and rationalize each of them, those moves. And I'll also throw out there, their payroll's gone up way more than people think. when you go, and I'm
You start
using
buying
co
15 and 17 and 12 and 13, you know, ten. Oh, that's $50, $60 million, and it adds up
Yeah,
quick. That's what I said.
when you look at COTS baseball contract website, which is a pretty reliable source as it pertains to comparing payrolls across the league, you know where the Orioles are projected to be right now for 2025? 15th, $155.8 million. Now, I certainly hope that's not the ceiling or the high water mark that they can ever get to, but in terms of where they were at this time a year ago, let alone talking about a couple years ago, the payroll's gone up quite a bit when you look at it in terms of percentage. Now, I think it's important to remember a large, overwhelming portion of that has been their arbitration guys. You know, they've had an extensive list of arbitration players the
Well, and
last
that's
couple
about to
years.
really
And
hit him
that's
in the
only
head,
right.
right?
I mean,
3 years from now, that's going to look like 50, 60 million bucks right off the bat for Rutschman, Henderson, and Westberg once we get there in
No
27,
question.
28. Yeah.
No question. And that's where you look at that and say, you know, is there an extension to be done? Even if it's not Gunnar or Rutschman at this point, is there a Westberg extension, for example? You know, is there an
I
extension
hear he
for.
has a similar representation.
Well, and again, I'm spitballing, right? Because until we see it happen, it's all conjecture. And we know that this organization is incredibly tight-lipped. I mean, the latest example, and you alluded to it, you know, talking about, you know, for all the talk about Andrew Kittredge and the 1 year, $10 million deal, it was reported over the weekend that, you know, the Orioles had a 3 year, $40 million agreement in place for Jeff Hoffman, you know, another standout reliever until there were some concerns of about his shoulder with their physical. Now, I will say this, and this is where my hope is that things are different here. It's very easy to say, oh, well, this is the Orioles. This is what they do. It is a different regime. And I will say, to their credit, nothing leaked out about this while it was happening, right? I think over the years, when we're talking about Grant Balfour or go down the list, Giovanni Gallardo, go way back with Aaron Seeley and Xavier Hernandez to, you know, to the example that you cited. I think the question. The concern as far as that happening was not that the Orioles had concerns about the physical. It was that that would then be used as a negotiating chip, especially if that leaks out then, because from the player and agent perspective, it's the thought of not only are you reneging on what wasn't, you know, a signed contract, you know, whenever it's a handshake agreement, it is a handshake, right? It's not ironclad.
Pending physical means
Pending
pending
physical,
physical.
always, always, always. So that was never the issue as much as to me that it would get out there while that player's still in limbo, whether you're talking about with Baltimore or with another potential suitor. So in the case of Jeff Hoffman, he ends up getting a 3 year, $33 million deal with the Blue Jays. So, okay, is there some frustration on their end to think, okay, well, wanted 40, but you still got 3 years, 33. It's not as though Jeff Hoffman had a 3 year, $40 million deal with the Orioles. The Orioles have concerns about it. It gets out to the media. Then teams start to perceive him differently, and suddenly he's settling for a 1 year deal. And that's what happened in some of these past instances that we saw. So that's where I'll give the Orioles the benefit of the doubt from that perspective. And then from the other perspective, in most of these cases that we've mentioned in the past, most of these pitchers ended up not necessarily looking great for a long period of
Oh, the
time.
Balfour thing was like, right?
Right? I mean, so there's been some
Well, Xavier
validation.
Hernandez was the other way around. They got screwed on him.
Yeah,
Peter had to pay him. The rest of these guys, Aaron Seeley was just bad vibes with his agent for the next 10 years.
Sure. And look, you certainly don't want to make a habit of that, right? And I don't think, you know, this is where I give Mike Elias and new ownership, the new, you know, the not new front office anymore, but the current regime compared to talking about
Well, the
Dan
previous
Duquette,
regime
you
did
know.
it under buyer's remorse, not under,
And that, right.
you
And
know,
then,
you're saying my arm's damaged. What's wrong? Like, my arm's not damaged. Aaron Seeley's case, as an example,
oh,
right?
and this is where it's always tricky. It's such a slippery slope with pitchers because, you know, Buck Showalter used to always say this, where if you look at any pitcher, you know, you do imaging, MRI, all the different potential imaging that you can do for a pitcher. These guys, you know, we've talked about it. The human arm is not meant to throw 95 miles per hour, let alone 100, the way that so many guys do now. You're going to see something on the MRI. Right? I mean, all these guys
I
have
would think
varying
my
degrees.
shoulder and Mike Messina's shoulder, and we were born 5 weeks apart, if we were just to do MRIs of shoulders, what his shoulder's been through, it just would be unbelievable, right? Yeah,
Sure.
it
And
really would be. It, no matter how much strengthening you do, it's insane what these guys have. Nolan Ryan, right?
so that's why there's always subjectivity that goes in here, and that's why there's always a range, right? You might look at a pitcher's arm, or this. Hey, Carlos Correa, think about his offseason a couple years ago with the issue with the concern about the ankle. What, he had three different deals in principle, and it ended up not being, it was third time the charm for him. So this does happen, but with a pitcher specifically, or with any player, and this happens, this happens in the NFL draft grades. I Purnell McPhee, perfect examples. People remember Purnell McPhee, of course. Ended up having a relatively long career. The Ravens ended up drafting him in the fifth round, not because they thought he was a fifth round talent, but there were concerns about his health, his knee specifically. There were a lot of doubts at that point in time with him coming out of college whether he was going to have a very long career. So he ended up getting a fifth round grade as a result, and the Ravens ended up getting a player that, I can't remember off the top of my head what their grade on him was just from a pure talent level standpoint, but it was more of a second or third round player, ended up going in the fifth round. So there's always a range here. You'll sign off on a pitcher on a 1 or 2 year deal, even though, you don't love how the MRI looks on his arm, but that's a different animal than committing 7 years to a pitcher, right? And that was kind of my Corbin Burns just general point. Not that Corbin Burns was damaged goods or anything like that, but
Well,
for
that's like
any
also the
pitcher.
Ravens doctors telling Zach Orr, dude, you can't play, you shouldn't play. He still
Oh,
went and
sure.
sought the play.
Yeah,
Right? I
he
mean, he
still tried to
did.
get cleared, right? And
Yeah.
that's the thing. I mean, the Blue Jays, their doctors were comfortable with a 3 year, $33 million contract. We'll see if it, how it works out. Jeff Hoffman.
I remember the stupid stuff Angelo said. Somebody wrote to me about the Peter principles and like reading the real history. Might have been Chris Corman from The Sun, actually, when he and I were talking about the real history. Stuff comes up that's unbelievable in regard to Angelo's because you just said Aaron Seelig. Dude, I haven't thought of Aaron Seelig until you brought him up 6 minutes ago. Angelo said some things like, our doctor said he only had 150 innings in him. Yeah, like it was like a tire. You know what I mean? Like literally, the owner of the team spoke about these guys like they were, out in the fields baling hay and they only had so much tread. Like, it's one thing, I think, for fans to talk about it in that way. I think it's a totally different thing when there's been MRIs and a generation ago an owner's like, we only think he has 300 innings left. It's like buying a used car. And to your point, the Blue Jays invested in this guy, spent money, but the Orioles didn't wreck the agent wreck relationships because that's what I'm speaking to, that you wonder why people hated Angelo so much. It's because he did stuff that was, Marty Conway would call it unorthodox. And some would, I mean, look, we're about to have a complete creep run the country saying unorthodox things every minute of every day by the end of the week. There's a price to be paid for trying to conquer Greenland and saying we're going to annex Canada and the Gulf of America. It's the same thing with baseball players, that if you're going to say that guy's hurt, man, that's what we're talking about here is an ethics thing and a money thing and all of that. The Orioles played on the wrong side of that for a long time. They really did. And it cost them in relationships. And I think it is important to talk about that sort of weird little part of it. But it's not weird when you're trying to sign the best baseball players in the world and who you're offending and who you're not.
Well, and again, there's a way to do it. And look, that's not to say that Jeff Hoffman and his representation aren't irritated with the Orioles right now, but at the very least, they kept it behind closed doors. He still got a 3 year deal for comparable compensation, even if it wasn't quite as much. 3 years, 33 compared to 3 years, 40 years, you're still living right. You're still, rather than you have to settle for a 1 year deal and suddenly
Or you
there's this
hold your
stigma.
nose to in front of the world and say, that guy's hurt.
Right. It's
Bad.
well, and that's my
Bad.
point. Right. And there's a way to handle that. And that's where I will give Mike Elias and the front office the benefit of the doubt here. And they pivoted and they said, look, Jeff Hoffman More upside. And I would agree with that. You know, comparing him to Andrew Kittredge, who's going to be 35 years
Are you
old
gonna
come
in August
mid-March.
wish we had gone? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that?
Well, see, but that's part of it. You know, the question then becomes, okay, when you said, look, we have some concerns about your shoulder, we'll still do the same annual average, but we only want to do a 2-year deal. You know, did Jeff, was that there? I mean, it was, the reporting was Robert Murray, and the reporting was that they were still negotiating, but
Talking about
obviously,
12, 10, $12 million, right?
yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's, and look, you have to protect yourselves as well. And look, both sides have to look at it, right? You're investing, but you know, to your
This is
point,
real money, though. This isn't 100 grand a year or 200. This is
sure.
like, I'm either going to have it guaranteed 20 million or guaranteed 30 million. You say my arm screwed up. Look at me. I can go out and pitch right now. What, like, so there is a good faith, bad faith part of this, and you don't want to be on the I it,
Right.
you just you
But
don't want to
it's
be doing dirty poker in baseball.
no question, but it's also not pass fail, right? It's not, well, you're either healthy or you're not. There's a wide range there. You know, you can have, that was the point I made about looking at pitchers' elbows and shoulders on MRIs. You're going to see something. It's just a matter of what does it look like? Is it, you know, this guy's got some wear and tear, but there's no reason to think he can't hold up for a few more years. We might have him make a slight mechanical adjustment that our sports science people think could save some wear and tear on his arm or make him a little bit better, whatever. I mean, you know, just like we talked about this a lot last year, getting close to right around this time when we found out about Kyle Bradish and his UCL sprain. And, you know, I cited Aaron Nola had a UCL sprain early in his career with the Phillies, and he's still going strong years later. Masahiro Tanaka famously had a UCL injury and pitched with it for years. Now, probably impacted his velocity and probably impacted how he pitches. And Aaron Nola, if you look at how he pitches, considering he's been an all-star caliber, you know, number two starter behind Zach Wheeler for the Phillies the last few years, you know, he's not the guy that is max velo throwing 99. You know, he throws, you know, still throws hard, but not in that same insane realm of velocity. And it might have something to do with that elbow injury he had earlier in his career. So, yeah,
Well, it
my
certainly
point.
gives nerds like us a chance to sit here and talk about the bullpen in a way that, I mean, there's a real name and a real player that was ready to go, ready to
Yeah,
come, and
question.
that it won't be a part of this operation. And you know,
But they've been.
it's a fork in the road, right? On this yellow brick road, orange brick road, I should say, to the Orioles trying to figure out their pitching after dealing for one that they had no intention of signing, but then really tried hard, wink, wink, nudge, like, but he wanted to go home, and what, and now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? So they're doing what they're doing, and we're looking at it at the same time. You mean you mentioned, I mean, Bradish, it was a year ago, like this week, right? That it became situational that they needed to replace a guy that they felt like wasn't going to make it for all the reasons we talked about Tanaka, all that stuff last year. And then his arm fell off anyway in May and he wasn't available to do what he needed to do. Ah, but we're stacked in our minor system. So we'll go get Eflin and we'll commit a lot of money to him. And they've committed a lot of money. I mean, as I sit out on the outside, I got my number two pencil out, you know, behind my ear. And I'm like, 17, 10. I mean, Eflin was a commitment, right? So I'm not pissing on him about Burns. If he was on face value, they didn't want him. It was a lot of money. They're trying to look like they wanted him, which in the end, that makes Camden Chatt happy. But there is a point where they have to go out and pitch. And that's where you and I, that's rubber meets the road with us. It's not about my feelings or Peter Angelos or, you know, Mike Elias or how secretive they are or not, or even about their payroll. They have to go out and win, and they have to be built to win in October, as we talk about the Ravens this week being built. And I took my Derrick Henry jersey off to put my Curio orange jersey on here in a week when we were expecting to try to go to the Super Bowl, and they'll be judged this week. But I'm not going to let the Oriole thing go by to say this offseason and this time in the offseason and where they are that you're either feeling for Dylan Cease and figuring it out or you're not, right? Or you're going to go with Charlie Morton. I mean, which is, that's not a punchline. That's what they're doing. They're going with 1 year, cross our fingers, 30-something year old guys to hold the weight and thinking Grayson's going to be the next step. And Eflin's going to be a two, And by July, you and I are gonna say Hoffman who? We don't, we're good. We're good.
Well, and by July you might be acquiring a pitcher then, right? I mean, you don't know. And we're about 11 months from where they were when they, Bradish was announced at the start of spring training, but right around now is when, the
Turns.
timeline that we've been led to believe that Bradish was throwing and had felt something in his elbow. That was, mid to late January. They acquired Burns February 1st, I think it was. It was right in line from when they
This was
announced
the
that.
time last year when John was selling the team to David, right? I mean,
Yeah.
and that money that came with Corbin Burns felt like new ownership, right? I mean,
I mean,
like literally
it
it.
did, but at the same time, it wasn't a long-term commitment. I think one thing we talked about on the heels of the Charlie Morton signing and understanding that, yes, I get it. He's 41. He's not Corbin Burns. They're not asking him to be Corbin Burns. They better not be asking him to be Corbin Burns. But for what he can be, which number three, number four starter, kind of the anchor, the back half of the rotation, let's say, with the obvious high expectations for Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin, being where he is and what he meant to them even down the stretch last year, it's fine. But one thing that we talked about, if you're not going to have that Corbin Burns or, Dylan Cease or Luis Castillo or throw out whatever trade target we've opined about, as far as guys that theoretically could be available and guys that the Orioles could be in on, because I still think that's very much in the realm of possibilities, even if I'm not going to sit here and bet my mortgage on it happening before spring training. But we said, okay, if your rotation's going to look the way that it does, which, I don't think is the, it's not the worst rotation in baseball or anything like that, but there's some more questions about it than you'd like for a contending team. I'm not going to sit here and try to
And
sit here
less
and say,
depth as
right.
well.
Well, from define what you mean by depth. If you're saying back end depth, I think they have some nice options. But if you're talking about top half of the rotation guys, yeah, that's where it's thin, no question about it. So, but the point I'm
Anybody
trying
can
to,
roll out a whole bunch of fours and fives to try to get you three and a third and give up four runs and and you
well,
have enough offense to
everyone
slug it
can,
out.
but I think everyone thinks they can, but it depends if you do. Point is, if you're going the route that they're going, and until we see, until we're sending out the WNST text alert about the Orioles acquiring Dylan Cease or Luis Castillo, this is what the rotation is at the moment. The point we had made, and this is where I like the Andrew Kittredge signing, 1 year, 10 million, a little bit rich, just at first blush, but it's a 1 year deal. I'm not going to sit here and, sit here and nitpick giving someone an extra million, million and a half, $2 million on a 1 year deal. I mean, so, but he's been successful. He's pitched in the AL East, pitched at a high level for Tampa Bay for a number of years. He's been an all-star. He doesn't miss bats at an extraordinary rate, but misses enough bats. And I think when you look at the composition of their bullpen, I think he settles in really nicely as the kind of guy that you're going to feel really good about pitching in the seventh or eighth inning.
The
And
Darren
occasion,
O'Day role.
yeah, sure.
That's
He's not a summer
what
reader,
I
but
thought, you know?
yeah. Which you need that. And I think now that you have him, and obviously so much of this bullpen still depends on what? Felix Bautista looking like Felix Bautista. And we've talked about it. He's had ample time to recover from Tommy John. By the time opening day rolls around,
You're so
it
much
will.
more optimistic on injured guys than I am because I'm just old. And I just
Well,
always feel like guys are, I say never the same. I know the modern part isn't that way,
I mean, the return rate's very high on Tommy John, but I
I
think a
understand that. But returning and throwing 103 is different than returning and throwing and being mortal. Good, but mortal. Not sub one ERA,
well,
84 inning. You know what I mean? Like,
whether he, even if he
what?
never had Tommy John, you can't expect that. Felix
Right,
Bautista,
because he
right.
was so
No,
extraordinary
but the
that I
point I'm
think that
making,
there's a there can only you can only go down from there, I feel like, from where he was. He won't
I
be
hear what
better
you're
than he
saying,
was.
but I'm not when I'm presenting that, I'm not saying that I'm expecting Felix Bautista to be peak 2023
Do
pre-injury.
you expect him
What
to
I'm
be a top eight closer this year?
I think he's got a chance to do that. Why
Okay.
not? I mean, okay, top. Let's expand it out to top half.
I don't know what they're expecting. And again, I mean, I don't have a media pass. I don't talk to Mike Elias. I wish I did for things like this to say, Like, what is their expectation of him? What, where does he slot in? Not as a might be, but as a must be for in their mind. Are they thinking he's a 55 inning guy, an eighth inning guy, not the ninth inning guy, right? Like, we're gonna like, and maybe you'll get that out of them in spring training as it comes along or whatever. But as I sit here in January with a guy whose arm fell off a year and a half ago and the surgery and all of that, he's not an is, and he's not Felix Batista. He's Felix maybe until, I mean, I didn't even put the name on his back of his jersey to think I'm getting what I got, you know? And that was one of the things about Derrick Henry around here. Are we getting that? We getting too much? We getting the old, or we, what are we getting here? We always ask that with a hurt player. I'm much more skeptical than I am of any 41-year-old Morton or 34, because those guys were doing it 8 weeks ago at the level that, or 15 weeks ago, at the level that needs to be done healthfully. And I know they have doctors in on him and all that. That's why I'm like, every time I bring it up, you bring it up, and the fans do too. Like, it's Stratomatic. He's just going to come back and be really good at whatever he'd, not that, but he's going to be normal. And I don't know that I ever feel that the guys are going to be normal. That's all. And
Well,
that's my age.
I understand what you're saying. And look, let me be clear. That doesn't mean that I'm projecting that he's going to be the best reliever in the American League like he was 2 years ago before the injury. However, where I am more optimistic with him is he's going to be 17 months removed from Tommy John surgery on opening day. This is why when people were uttering the Hail Mary possibility of Batista pitching last October, first of all, Mike Elias was adamant about it multiple times. No, that he's not pitching in October. No, he's not pitching in October. I saw him with my own eyes throw a bullpen. I think it was before game two against Kansas City, 4 hours before first pitch. He was out there throwing a bullpen, not because there were any designs on him pitching in the ALCS if they had advanced, but
But he is
because he
pain-free
was at
and
that
going through the
point.
zone. Correct.
Yeah,
Yes. Okay.
exactly. So that's where I'm a little more optimistic on him than you are. That said, look, can you truly 100% pencil in any pitcher to stay healthy, just knowing the overall climate of baseball, right? That's why you need depth. And that's why I like the Andrew Kittredge signing here, because I do look at the makeup of their bullpen right now. On paper, you have Felix Batista fully acknowledging that he might not be the absolute best version of himself, but 17 months removed from Tommy John surgery, I'm going to be optimistic. You have Andrew Kittredge now, who's done it, even if doesn't have, these big save totals, but he's certainly someone who's pitched in high leverage. You still have Sir Anthony Dominguez, who did a nice job for this club last year down the stretch. You have Yennier Cano. I think a big wild card for the Orioles for whether this bullpen can be great rather than merely pretty good, to me, is Gregory Soto. He had major issues when, first of all, he had issues to the point of why the Phillies traded him to begin with. And then his first month with the Orioles was tough, right? I mean, they weren't using him in high leverage because he was struggling the way he did.
And it's
Quietly,
when they started struggling too.
yeah, quietly, they were able to make some adjustments with him. Go back and look at his month of September. Now, they weren't pitching him in a ton of high leverage spots, fully acknowledging that, but he looked better. And he's still young enough. He's not quite 30 years old. I think he'll be 30 by opening day off the top of my head. But the point is, he's not at a point age-wise where you think he's just completely washed up stuff-wise. If Gregory Soto can find the form that he had with Detroit a few years back, man, the makeup of that bullpen to me, you're starting to look like the kind of bullpen you need to have, which is, you heard me say this over and over and over last year, you need four or five, six guys that you can trust to use in just about any spot. Doesn't mean you're not going to have your main closer. Doesn't mean you're not going to have your main setup eighth inning guy. But we understand that over 162 games, the closer can't be the closer every single game. The eighth inning guy can't be the eighth inning guy every single game, or their arms will be shot by June, right? I mean, teams try to take care of these guys and manage their innings, and they still break down. So, point is, you need that kind of depth. And when I look at where they are now with their pen, Batista with the asterisk, fully acknowledging what you're saying, and I don't disagree. Even if I'm more optimistic, that doesn't mean I'm 100% confident. But him, Kittredge, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Yennier Cano, Gregory Soto, and I'll throw in another name for you as a potential wild card. How about Albert Suarez? If he's not in the rotation, I think he could be an interesting weapon out of the bullpen, whether he's your sixth inning swing guy to bridge it to the late innings, or maybe he occasionally throws the eighth inning. You know, in the way that I thought of how the Orioles used Tommy Hunter a decade ago, right? When he transitioned to a bullpen role, and no, he was never the guy, let's be clear, but he was a useful bullpen piece for them for, you know, 2 or 3 years,
You
let's
mean the way
say.
they tried to use Gausman for a minute?
Well, that was just not smart the way they handled him. Anyway, but my point is, when you kind of look at the names that I just fired off there, and that's not even talking about CNL Perez or Keegan Aiken. That's the kind of bullpen now when you add Kittredge into that seventh and eighth inning mix, you know, as someone who's done it and done it at a high level for a long time, that's where I look at him and say, I like that move. You know, I especially on a 1 year deal. Would I have rather have had Jeff Hoffman if you felt fully confident in his shoulder? Yeah, absolutely. The guy was terrific last year for Philly, but they had concerns and they pivoted. And I think this seems like a very reasonable pivot. You know, that's someone who's 35 who is on a 1 year deal. Is he going to stay healthy? Well, that's a question for any pitcher, right? Again, you know, whether we're talking about Felix Bautista coming off Tommy John, or knowing that any pitcher could have a UCL or shoulder injury anytime they go out there throwing max effort. So I like where their bullpen is now more so than I did last year. You know that I was not especially high on the Craig Kimbrel signing. And I think a lot of people felt that way, having watched what Craig Kimbrel had been for the last 5 or 6 years. But, you know, I look at this move, I look at Batista coming back and having optimism, cautious as it might be, and the guys that they have, Cano, Dominguez, like I said, Soto, I think, is a wild card in terms of a guy that could really be an upside guy for them if they feel that they've gotten him straightened out. You know, I think this bullpen has a higher ceiling than it did last year. There's no doubt. I mean, Batista alone gives them a higher ceiling, even with the unknown of him coming back from Tommy John. But, you know, I like the Kittredge signing, and it will certainly be interesting to see, you know, what happens with Jeff Hoffman. The Blue Jays are a team a lot like the Orioles. You know, they've been desperate to make some moves. You know, they've been in on, you know, they were in on Ohtani last year, but they didn't get him. You know, they were in on, you know, Juan Soto. It sounded like they were at least trying, but they didn't get him. So, you know, they got Hoffman, who, again, if he's healthy, terrific back end bullpen piece. But, you know, we'll see if the Blue Jays, you know, their confidence in giving him a 3 year deal ends up being warranted, or are we looking at this a year or two from now and saying, oh, the Orioles were right there and the Blue Jays probably shouldn't have done that. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think Kittredge was a nice pivot given the circumstances. And I like the fact that the Orioles did not, you know, they made sure all parties made sure not to leak it to the media until he had a deal that is at least comparable, even if it wasn't quite as good as what the Orioles' agreement and it originally was.
Pitchers and catchers begin reporting on February 10th, which would be the day, a very hungover day here in Baltimore if the Ravens win three football games between now and then. And it would be the day before the parade, which would be on February 11th. You know, Libs Grill, we were doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery up there last week, and it snowed. And I said, and Nick's like, hey, we got to do it. You want to do it this, that? And I'm like, well, why don't we just do it the day after the parade? And we all agreed that the parade would be February 11th. So when King Henry, and I put my King Henry jersey down to put my Curio Wellness Orange Orioles Baltimore sweater on here today for the Kittredge welcoming committee. But the 12th of February, we will be back in Harford County at Libs Grill, all of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. There's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Word out on Sean Welsh, Jessica Toddles, Bob Cassilly, Mickey Coachella. I'm coming for all of y'all. Up there in North Bel Air, up by the community college. There's actually a Towson University campus up in Harford County. I didn't know that. Luke is here. He'll be here all week monitoring football and knockout games and Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and all that. We have our flights booked for Kansas City. Barbecue. Arrowhead. Championship game. Is that revenge I taste? Who knows? He's Luke. I'm Nestor. A little baseball in here. It's still a football week. Football's coming on the other end, I promise.